Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome in, everybody, to episode 151 of the Dumb Mars Podcast. It's your boys, your favorite Saturday brunch bunch, back at it again for All Out Payback. Gentlemen, how we living? How we feeling? A lot going on. That's, I mean, apropos for the title of the show today, because we will be breaking down both pay-per-views and predicting, you know, the matches, cards, talk about the angles, storylines, if they're there, if they're not, etc. I think I have a hot take that most people are not going to agree with, but we'll see. Not just you guys on the show, but in
I was going to say it's a business as usual
in wrestling Twitter in general. Hey, look, I stand on an island by myself. Okay? All right, and I don't come off that island unless it's absolutely necessary. So even whenever I'm wrong, I still just walk to the edge of the island. I don't dive into the truth. The true ocean, as far as walking it back. Nah, I'm staying on my island for sure. So, with that being said, how's everybody's week? Everybody good?
Work week was a dog. Work week was a dog, but hey, I'm ready for today.
Work week was a dog. College football is officially back. Big games this week. One of my squads plays tomorrow night in prime time. So LSU and Florida State. Go Noles. So we'll be watching that. West Virginia, Penn State later on tonight.
I think you said fighting words to Jason.
What?
One of my squads?
Yeah, one of my squads. No, nah, nah.
Let me get my squad. You only get one. Not one per conference.
I don't have one per conference. Both of mine are in the same conference. Got my hell to pick, you know, as an alumni and a graduate to the University of Pittsburgh, and then, you know, my team that, you know, things were different. I've been down in Tallahassee, go to school and everything else. You know, Florida State Seminoles back in the day, Charlie Ward, Warwick Dunn and the boys, Derrick Brooks. Like, I've been on the Noles bandwagon since like 91. So we're here. We made it. Busy weekend it was last weekend. We'll get into all out. Yeah. Busy weekend. This weekend is even more jam-packed because you got Labor Day weekend. So, you know, you got All Out tomorrow and then Payback tonight. And a lot of wrestling in between then. So with that being said, I know we got two pay-per-views to run through and break down. My Mount Rushmore and Jabroni are the same thing. So if you guys have differences, we'll run through yours first, because my Jabroni can lead into my Mount Rushmore and Jabroni can lead into us talking about the first pay-per-view, which will actually be the one for tomorrow. So spoiler alert, if you haven't guessed it, kind of obvious at this point. So,
do we want to do like we did a couple weeks ago? Everybody does Mount Rushmore and Jabroni at the same time.
Yeah, let's just run through it that way, because we got two cards to talk to, and I know we'll get into a lot whenever we start breaking down these cards a little bit more at length. We'll kick off Mount Rushmore and Jabroni. This is spoiler alert. We don't do shit before the show. No. This is a pre-production meeting. You guys are getting full glimpse at how we come on the air. Probably not good as a show, but oh well. It is what it is, right?
You just come on like, what do you want to talk about?
hence our name. You know, that's what we do.
Story time with the dumb marks, baby. Yeah.
What's the criteria for this show?
We don't have one.
We'll run through Mount Rushmore and Jabroni for you guys. We'll hop into Payback, and then I'll give my Mount Rushmore and Jabroni before we go into AEW All Out tomorrow, because that'll kick off the conversation as far as that company and card goes. But if you have something from AEW, feel free to shout it out now. You don't got to hold on to it. It's up to you. So with that being said, who wants to kick us off this week as far as gripes or positivity? Whichever boat you want to hop in first, it's completely up to you.
Somebody else can do Mount Rushmore first, because I actually don't have one.
You don't have one? Okay, well, pause. Let's just here. No Mount Rushmore for Donald this week. What about this week that was coming out of All In? All In.
You could say All In was my Mount Rushmore, but we won't talk about that in length. But I, for me, not liking AEW as much as I used to, that was a great pay-per-view. I enjoyed it a lot. Me and Chris seen it. We watched it together, and he even said it too. Like, that this is one of their better pay-per-views. So hats off to them. I really enjoyed it. But you really couldn't hear much about it because of other stuff that happened during it.
Yeah, you get a great night in pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. I thought the setup was great because mm-hmm. it allowed them to get more people in the arena. It wasn't the big, huge, overblown WrestleMania set. You know, I listened to Eric Bischoff's podcast this week on 83 Weeks, and he kind of, you know, hey, I mean,
he shits on them all the time now.
It was a supercharged indie show. It didn't feel mm-hmm. like WrestleMania. And I'm like, well, production wise, I thought it was good. I thought, mm-hmm. you know, production wise, it was great. I liked the setup. You know,
mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the stage.
I enjoyed the entrances for the most part, except for the guy willing MJF out. You can't be seen willing him out. If you don't got a motorized cart, you can't be seen it with your head in the back underneath the throne, just pushing the cart. And then he didn't even stop, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah. He hit the step. Hit the girl. Hit the girl.
It's like the only botch of the night from a production standpoint with entrances and stuff that I saw.
We said if you're gonna use the women's roster as the girls for that entrance, just use some of the guys and have them pull them out and dress them up.
Like, I don't even know if they used the women's roster for that.
They did.
Oh, that was confirmed.
Oh, you couldn't tell.
You saw Athena down there. You saw Sky Blue down there. Yeah.
I wasn't looking.
They were like, you want payday? You got to do this.
So it was like Sasha, Charlotte, and them coming out for Triple H at Mania. Yeah. Right? Got it. Okay.
At least for that, they weren't as well known yet as some of the women on this roster.
All right. So after that, wrestling just took a nosedive for you this week, Donald?
I really didn't see much. There's a couple other things, but probably somebody got that as their Mount Rushmore, so I won't bring that up.
I didn't bring it up.
What, Miz's promo? Probably the most entertaining thing from the week. Yeah, what? Yeah, what?
No, so not the promo battle last night, the from actual Raw. From Raw. LA Knight impersonation on Raw. Yeah. Is Miz the greatest professional wrestler impersonator? I mean,
he did everybody.
The Rock, Cena.
Cena and Nikki, whenever they did that might have been the best.
He's giving Charlie Haas a run for his money.
Oh,
he said Charlie Haas.
Charlie Haas was perfect.
Yeah,
not even Big Show when Big Show was doing it.
I erased that out of my memory. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, no doubt. Appreciate you. So I'm not mad at the, you know, it was entertainment. That's what the Miz does.
That's all it is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I thought that the promo last night between them two was good. Both guys tripped up a little bit. It wasn't perfect from either one, but they, you know, they hit it home. I mean, look, this whole setup for LA Knight against the Miz is to get LA Knight a win against somebody that has been a main event player in WWE at different parts of his career and has also been there for 20 years. So we're going to use the Miz as the John Benoff point. I'm okay with that. Like I said, not mad at this being an actual feud for LA Knight. So
for me, other than I want to say Shinsuke and Seth, the best storyline going right now in WWE, the one that's most compelling.
It's because you got two people that can talk on the mic.
Yeah,
and then on social media, they've been showing clips of them at house shows. Well, they've been showing clips of LA Knight at house shows. I don't mm-hmm. think Miz makes the rounds on house shows anymore. He might pop up occasionally.
He's got other things to do.
Yeah, he got other company priorities to handle. But no, I mean, you had LA. They show clips going around Twitter with LA Knight out there cutting promos on the Miz on house shows. So like, they're working the shtick. They're working the gimmick. It's getting there. It has me interested and invested in wanting to see the match on the pay per view tonight. So mission accomplished from that standpoint. Like, I don't know how much time they'll give them to tonight, but I expect Miz to go out there and do what Miz does and make LA Knight shine even brighter than what his star is currently based off of his ascension in the company. So, all right. Jay, what do you got, Mount Rushmore?
Mine's going to be both main events from NXT and Raw.
All right.
To
so
the women's matches. Hold on.
Before you get into this, because I turned on NXT Tuesday night, right? And watching it, enjoying the beginning of the show, right? Watching it, this and that. Mm-hmm. I turned the show off. Can you guess what segment I turned the show off at?
The Creed match? The beginning?
No. When they announced the names for the cup.
No, but that was
that was.
I turned it off with Dragunov and Metaphor talking to each other. Metaphor actually got me to turn off the show, and I did not go back and turn it back on. So I missed the main event. I read up on it the next day. I'm like, holy shit. I missed a great women's match, even though Donna was complaining about just throwing a four-way together because why are you still doing the same thing time and time again? But I missed a great match because I couldn't do it no more. Like, I turned it off.
Completely shut me down.
Yeah.
They just...
Like not interested in him, not interested in the group, definitely not interested in Lash Legend getting on the microphone.
Like Dawn said, Noam Dar is an entrance.
Their entrance is the only thing I like with the lights. That's it. As soon as they start walking away from the lights, that's when it gets clicked off.
So yeah, so so I missed your Mount Rushmore, one of yours, because I turned off the show. So
we can
save that conversation for another day, because that, you know, that's a different pod and we got a lot to get into. But yeah, I missed it. Because of that,
it's two storylines that were like, one's getting tired and over. You're done with it. You're waiting for it to be over, and then you just do a fatal four way out of nowhere. Both of them being good matches, real good.
Yes, the match was good.
And Zoe's been the bright spot in this feud for me with Becky and Trish.
Like, I saw a lot of people say Becky needs to go away after this. Like, this feud with Trish has not done her the favors that you would have expected it to do, and it hasn't hit the mark for a lot of people. I think they were talking about it on Busted Open, that she just needs, like, a little time away. Nothing major, nothing long, but just kind of time away after the match tomorrow, after the match tonight, to just kind of out of sight, out of mind for a little bit, and then, you know, come back and get back on the Becky train, so to speak.
I think Trish can go all together. She's really been holding this down for me.
I don't know how long she's going to be around at this point. I know, like, she was officially drafted, but you know, she's been around longer than I expected her to be.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's because they prolonged the feud. It was supposed to be on SummerSlam.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was going to be like a Trish summer run, and then
that was it.
That'd be it. But
I wasn't even expecting a full run. I was expecting maybe like, you know, the once a month or something like that. You know? But she's been doing her job with Zoe, you know. Jason said Zoe's been the shining star of this, you know. I think she's been doing the job since they teamed them together.
She's coming off better than she did in NXT.
Taquan, we cannot have you coming in here dropping this on this show.
Good morning to you.
part of my jabroni is a woman's situation where she didn't even like get to sit down at the party. They just kicked her out immediately after she walked through the door. She didn't even get through coat check. So Save that as a teaser. But yeah, I'm not mad at those selections, especially the women's four way from NXT. I thought that was a bright spot of the week. Given that it was just a thrown together match. And I'll be interested to see if they really, because Becky supposedly flirting with maybe going back down to NXT. We saw Tiffany in the stands on Raw. So, you know, I don't know if I want to see a Tiffany versus Kiana match because it's heel versus heel. And I don't think either one of them, I don't think either one of them are prepared enough to do that type of match, but they may surprise me. Who knows?
Throw them to the fire.
I was going to say, we'll find out Tuesday night, right?
So are we going to get Becky down the next seat just to give her the title run?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, no. Since she never had it when she was originally down there? You've had every other title.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not going to hit like Dom's title run, I can tell you that.
No, of course not.
I mean, I would think, for me, Becky's above NXT at this point. It's kind of like whenever they did Charlotte a couple years ago, having her beat Rhea for the title. It's like, what are we doing with Charlotte again? And then, at least at that point, she had already been NXT champion. She didn't need that run.
That was COVID era. I'm not even going to worry about that. But Chris ain't co-signing no Mysterio. That's the best chance. All right, Chris, Mount Rushmore for you.
We already kind of touched on it. I agree with Donald. Allin was my Mount Rushmore for the week. But since we kind of touched on that, I had a 1B, and I'll go with kind of it tied in with Sunday and Wednesday of the Scissor Party. Scissor Party entertained the hell out of me between Sunday, them win the belts, and then whenever Billy Gunn cut the scissor on Wednesday for the new belts, Taz goes, we just experienced history. I don't know what we experienced, but we experienced it. just enjoy it. It was entertaining.
I thought Bowens had to tweet it a week whenever he added MJF and say, hey, I know you and my partner have this thing going on, but I just scissored your dad. And it was a video clip of him just dad scissoring. that was great. I didn't need the Acclaim winning. I didn't think House of Black was stale or their title run needed to end. I get why you did it from the story that you told, but at the same time, like, I'll save it because, like I said,
what are we?
That's it. So, all right. Well, then, Donald, no Mount Rushmore. What's your jabroni of the week then?
My jabroni of the week comes from Dynamite. How do you have Orange and Penta fight, but the winner gets Moxley at the pay-per-view? Like, Moxley is the champ. Like, what the hell is this process doing?
Moxley is the champ.
I was like, my God. I saw that. I was like, oh, get the hell out of here. That's that good old Moxley Hogan pulling that card, that creative control card. They were like, yeah, you got to challenge me, even though you're the champ. You challenge me.
You should have watched the after show, you know, like the media scrum, because it's like Orange is complaining about Moxley, how he wants Moxley. And then they announce that match for Orange and Penta. And then they cover, you know, and the winner fights Moxley. It's just like, so I'm getting a little excited because I was like, oh, maybe Penta will beat Orange, you know, like the way they were doing that. And then, like you say, okay, the winner gets Moxley. I was like, well, you just gave away the winner. You know, you're having Orange cut a promo on Moxley and how he wants Moxley, and then the winner gets him. It's just like, you're not going to give him to Penta.
So. Wait, so that Commander match was just for nothing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything was just kind of thrown together on Wednesday, man. Yeah, between suspensions and flights not being able to get to Dynamite.
my biggest gripe out of that whole situation, while it is pretty egregious to have the champion wrestle to win to face the challenger, I don't think I've ever seen a match that way in pro wrestling history. But my biggest gripe out of that, well, wait, I'll save it because again, it's just going to go into
Before you go into your gripe, the reason why they did the match, at least the reason it was explained, was because Orange said he didn't defend the title at all, and being an international title, and he didn't even defend it on an international pay per view. So they gave him a match on Dynamite just to have a match.
Oh, so Orange with Logic's booking and storytelling. Like, hey, I can see why he's a producer in the back and working on matches now. Like,
but we got fake titles running around the company, so that's...
The champion has to win the
fight. Don't have to win the fight the number one contender.
That's a very solid Jabroni of the Week selection. Not going to hate on that at all.
The process is just, I don't know.
All right. Jay, what do you got?
For what, Jabroni?
Jabroni.
Jabroni?
No, for Mount Rushmore. Yeah, Jabroni. Pay attention to the segment of the show we're on. What are we doing?
I got a couple, man. It's from putting the belt on Saraya, Jimmy right, and Cena last night. Pause.
Hold on. Leave all your AEW ones to the side.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Leave them to the side. What do you got, Jabroni? We got
AEW. Yeah. Okay. Well, we got
Steve. How long is your list for Mount Rushmore and Jabroni this week?
I got three.
They want to have a six.
You can't take. You can't take everything.
I got two now. I got two. I got Jimmy and Cena last night. It did. It made no sense. You could at least have Jimmy run them down more. Something.
No, but he has some fire music now, so you know that's all you need.
And an extra M. He was Jimmy.
I didn't even notice that.
The triple M.
I mean, I was cool with all this backstage stuff, but
back, baby.
But getting there, like the promo itself was just terrible. It did nothing for me. And then I'm gonna throw Kingston and Yuta on there. Just because, what is Yuta doing? That spinning back fist was the worst. Is the worst finisher in wrestling, and Yuta's just jobbing it.
I was telling you, hey, after he pinned Kenny during that match, all downhill from there. You got your spotlight.
I looked up and it was just like Yuta's out. I'm like, okay, I got to rewind. Why? Get him back this way. You are not Jean Claude. You are not Jackie Chan. You are Eddie Kingston.
Jackie Chan.
What a spinning back this.
He is the New Japan Strong champion.
I mean, I knew going in because it was for the belt that Yuta was going to lose, but come on.
Can't say nothing about that.
Not wrong.
Between that and the Judas effect, all too terrible.
Chris?
That's my Jabroni.
Mine also comes from AEW. It's not even gonna be on yours. Mine's I've said it before, and I'm just gonna hit it home again. Tony Schiavone needs to get off commentary. He's slowing them down. I think Excalibur and Taz have a good cadence going between the two of them, and Tony Schiavone's just kind of there. And it's like I like what they're doing with JR right now, where he's just coming out maybe for a main event or maybe one or two segments, and that's it. You want to bring Tony Schiavone out for Sting's match? Cool, but other than that, he doesn't need to be at the desk.
Yeah, I was gonna say, since you brought up the commentary, how do you feel like they did with the moving the chess pieces around the commentator booth on Saturday?
I was actually okay with the desk on Saturday or Sunday.
I thought it was well.
What was that?
Okay. Yeah, Sunday. I enjoyed JR kicking off the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. Big fight.
I like Nigel in there. I like him.
Yeah. Nigel's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I actually enjoy JR Nigel on Collision.
Mm.
Like and Excalibur, that was Collision last week, right? JR,
Kevin Kelly.
Kevin Kelly. Well, Jay, there was it Rampage then? JR? Might have been Rampage last week. It was JR, Nigel, and Excalibur. And I thought them three had a really good flow and mesh. Nigel, I think, is fantastic. I loved him in NXT.
Jason feels differently.
Yeah, I know Jason does.
He wasn't a fan of NXT.
But I'm not. Shivani said he doesn't know how much longer his run is going to be.
Until Sting retires.
Supposedly this year, so we'll see.
Can he just do in-ring announcement or in-ring?
I'd be okay if he just did that.
Yeah, if he did that, just the in-ring stuff. Yeah,
you can have him do the digital stuff that he does. You know, he does like the control center and things, and then he does the interviews on TV. Cool. But yeah, he doesn't need to be at the desk anymore.
All right, everybody good?
Yeah.
All right, who wants to have soapbox time? That is story time. We're going to have soapbox.
Should I go get popcorn?
No, I'm not gonna go that hard.
Put the big screen on him.
No, actually, we'll pause. Let's get into payback. Okay. I don't want to go forward and then jump backwards. So let's get into payback. All right, we'll check the box, Tacon. Check the box.
All right, so for payback, we got 6 matches on the schedule, 8 segments total. So there's 2 segments on top of the 6 matches. So we'll just do the matches only. So we'll kick things off with the U.S. Championship, Rey Mysterio versus Austin Theory.
Right. We've been down this road. We've been telling this story. They had the tag team match last night. I don't expect Theory to get his title back. However, not mad if they throw Theory and Grayson Waller together as a tag team.
It didn't look bad.
It didn't look bad. Personality-wise, they fit together.
Yes, they do.
Do something. Waller can talk for Theory, because Theory's still a little on the mic for me. So wouldn't be mad at that at all if you're trying to get some new tag team blood out there. Let let Theory kind of step away from the singles run. You can throw them in the mix with KO, the Suit Profits. I don't like that name, but if that's what they're going with, I guess
they gotta change the ring gear up there.
I didn't even pay attention to that. The Suit Profits.
I'd much rather prefer a Street Business, but
yeah.
Whatever, we'll see. And I don't even know if Suit Profits is actually confirmed. I saw it and I thought, if that's what they're going with, whatever. So if you're throwing them two together as a tag team moving forward to get some new blood and actually run some stuff, I'm cool with that. I know what Street Business is. I want them having in the back, pulling up in the Benz with a sound system, dropping off a bag and rolling.
The duffel bag.
Yeah, they just pulled up on through my where my melanin is lacking. It was in the back of my head.
Because I want to see Theory and Waller go together, I'm going to go with Ray retaining. He can drop it to somebody else.
Ray's going to retain just because that's Dominic's father.
He's giving him the rub. The nepotism.
You know, I thought he was going somewhere good with this until he finished.
Ray is Ray is a nepo daddy.
Everybody got Ray?
Yeah.
Oh, Chris with a Ray Mysterio.
I want Theory, but Ray's winning. They're not taking time off him. All right, we'll jump into LA Knight versus The Miz.
LA Knight.
Yeah.
We talked about it. That was quick. Earlier. Yeah. No, we already touched on it. Like, this is what you're building. You're getting. getting the ball go.
I mean, it's 2023. Look how many losses Miz has had this year. He doesn't. A loss isn't going to hurt him.
His only win is against Tozawa. Yeah, so. Literally, for the year, he's 1-34. I think I saw.
And is anybody angry over it either?
No.
Like, just
no,
no,
no. Just I like it. His promo. He's, like, you don't care losers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll get into the Steel City Street Fight for the tag team titles, or how they keep announcing it as the Pittsburgh Steel City Street Fight, because people don't fucking know. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Finn Balor and Damian Priest.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Steel City moniker can't really get that confused with any other city. But hey, it is what it is. Look, Owens and Zayn have both been banged up during this title run. It hasn't really done anything. The initial momentum after they won the belts, just since then, because they've been banged up and now they've had to be booked and time away and everything else, just hasn't done anything. They really haven't had a true feud. Yeah. And I'm going to touch on that whenever we get to a certain other match on this card. And to me, this is just a cog in the storyline between Balor and Priest. This really even doesn't even pertain to the tag team titles, even though it's a tag team title match. I got Owens and Zayn winning just because the bigger story is Balor and Priest going on.
Same.
Same. Yeah, Owens and Zayn.
It'll be changes if you don't come home with the gold. So I want to see the shakeup.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a story in here, and even with the Street Profits last night, staring down Owens and Zayn, it's like maybe there's more of a story there, they can do. I hope it just wasn't a blow off just to do it, just because they were both on SmackDown.
Taekwon, the Steel City is the name for the city of Pittsburgh because of the steel industry that Pittsburgh is known for. Pittsburgh Steelers, steel, like it's pretty obvious, but hey, you're from Florida, so I wouldn't expect anything less. You guys, don't pay
today attention to education
outside of you.
Wow,
Steve said he wanted to go to Florida for school, but now shitting on it. So, champions retain around the board,
yeah.
All right, so. Next match we'll jump into is the Women's World Championship, just to go with that. Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Rodriguez.
Rhea Ripley, this is what I was talking about booking. Since she won the title, has not had a single solid feud. Mm-mm. She's wrestled, I think, 9 times since she's won the belt, and all those matches combined are less than, I think, 15 or 20 minutes total.
And what, she's wrestled Natty 3 or 4 times? Yeah. That nine.
And wrestling that
match with Natty.
Yeah, you're about to be a fan.
Yeah. So, like, and it's nothing against Rhea. She's killing it outside of the women's title picture based on everything else that she's been doing with Judgment Day and with Dom Dom and that whole thing. And character-wise, she's still grown character-wise as far as, like, being a star and over since she won the belt at Mania. It's just the title run hasn't been there with the character because they haven't booked nothing for her. And I don't know if that's they don't know what to do with her, or they don't know who else they have on Raw to put in that position based on injuries or whatever, because you can't have her go out there and squash
everybody.
Candice LeRae in 1:10, and then the next night go down to NXT and have a legitimate mixed tag match where she's taking offense and everything else from Lia Valkyria. You can't do that. If you're going to book her to squash people on Raw in 1:10, she shouldn't even have stepped foot in that tag team match until the very end, hit a finish and wrap it up. So I'm not mad at her because she's still over, but they're just not doing nothing with this feud for her, period.
Last night on SmackDown, it's just like with people transitioning over back and forth between the shows, it made me think again. It's like One, why'd we do the draft, and why didn't we just unify the belts? Like, why did we have to do split belts again with everything? At this point, it would make more sense if there was just one champion, and even for the women's division.
That whole women's interaction last night on SmackDown could have been a jabroni of the week, because everything in that was just hot garbage. Charlotte couldn't hit a boot on Io to save her life. The timing was off on the splat. Like, it was shot. Like, it was just, that was just hot garbage last night. So, Raquel's not ready for a main roster title run. Mm-mm. Rhea's not, there's no reason to take the belt off of Rhea. So, I got mommy retaining.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be mad if the rules were reversed and Dom hit a suplex on Raquel and rolled her into the ring, and that's how Rhea won. Rhea's gonna be out there suplexing men. Let Dom get out there and suplex Raquel.
I don't think you're gonna see that, but
yeah.
You might see Raquel suplex Dom on the outside.
Yeah. Mommy for the victory.
Yeah.
This don't seem like the one, because like if this would have been booked like how they did at NXT, like that booking, perfect. This here just doesn't feel like.
But you have all that history to call back on, and they haven't
did anything.
Called back on it.
You're just gonna keep on injuring the leg, and that's gonna be our story.
Yeah, that's it. That's the focal point.
It goes back to like how things are running again in the company. It's like, when someone was away briefly, you were getting NXT storylines brought in. Now you're not getting those again.
And that wouldn't have made sense if you tell that backstory with their history in NXT, and then you have Rhea take out the knee. That makes sense, because it shows that Raquel's an actual threat to Rhea.
Mm-hmm.
You just had her injure Liv and then injure Raquel and then injure Liv and injure Raquel, and now we get a championship match. It's like a Make-A-Wish title match. Jeez, oh man, you're just giving it to somebody because you feel bad about
it. I'm going with Rhea for this match, and I don't see her dropping it, but it would make the storyline more interesting if Rhea does drop the title. You know, if Finn and Damian don't win and then she would drop it, that would be, you know, seeing as she's the one threatening them, you know, who would she be to threaten them anymore if she drops the title too? But I still see her retaining, you know, but. All right, up next we'll go into the steel cage match of Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus. This is what I was hoping was going to be the main event, but they announced last night it wasn't going to be.
You kind of touched on this already. Yeah. Like, this has been so hot and cold. Like, to me, this should have been one of those classic, like, legends versus current star / legend in the making, and have them two collide for this dream matchup, and it just hasn't worked out that way.
Yeah.
So that's why I said Becky kind of needs to go away after this.
Sometimes things just look better on paper than whenever they actually do the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I much rather would have wanted to see Trish versus Bayley, but Bayley's a heel, so you can't do that.
Trish took some bumps on Monday that had me a little bit interested in seeing this match, so I'll see if I enjoy it, but I'm going to go Becky.
Becky.
Around the way. Go Becky.
I'll go Becky. Okay.
All right. So, last match, World Heavyweight Championship, Seth Rollins versus Nakamura. Time continuing.
Even though this has been a 2 to 3 week storyline, it's been one of the best storylines that they've told.
It's an interesting storyline,
mm-hmm.
how they're telling it.
Nakamura like
trying to show focused on the back, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Which tells you right there who's going to win, but
I don't know. There's been rumblings out there that Seth really is legitimately banged up. So, like, if it's to the point where he needs to go get it fixed, then you've told the right story to where he can lose and actually go away and get his back worked on. So I don't know, you know.
The quote Donald doesn't get to work.
He's not going to want to drop it because He still wants to build up that championship belt. But I'm just glad Nakamura's in the picture and they're actually doing something serious with him.
And giving him time.
Yeah.
He's been, 6 years on the main roster. And outside of an AJ Styles with a heel turn nut shot, he hasn't done anything.
Mm-hmm.
Look at these promos and look at Oscar's promos on SmackDown. You could have done this, something similar and had Oscar be portrayed as a better champion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's a good take. It is.
We know Asuka's potential as well as we know Nakamura's potential. So they can always be better than what they're being booked.
Yeah. Depending on who's running the show, we kind of know why they're booked the way they're booked. Yeah. Because that the Asuka we've seen on the main roster for every single title run is not the Asuka we saw in NXT whenever somebody with three letters as their name was booking.
Yep.
So... Yes, Taco. He is trying to blow his back out. Yeah. So.
What were you going
to say? No, go ahead, because I'm still coin flipping this in my head.
Okay. Give me Nakamura, but my only gripe is if it happens, why couldn't it have been Finn?
The story, man.
That's a good that is. Yeah, that's a good.
I think I'm still mad that Finn didn't win.
Same here. I think everybody.
Yeah. Again, it's
you
a
go heel Nakamura. If you go heel Nakamura, then you kind of automatically pencil Cody Rhodes' name in there, right?
For champion or just the feud with Nakamura?
That's not the belt to end the story.
Yeah. Cody said that, so.
Yeah.
He's going to be two-belt Cody.
Depends. Does he inherit all of them when he wins? Ultimo Dragon Cody is what it's going to be.
He doesn't inherit the blue SmackDown one because Roman Reigns gave that to Bray Wyatt's family.
Rumored.
Oh, you think that's a work? I didn't say it's a work.
We don't know. You believe everything you read on the internet?
No. Did you watch the 35 minutes of WWE superstars giving their testimonials and stories about Bray Wyatt?
Not yet, no.
Oh, not yet. But yet you were complaining about everything that they've done. As far as a tribute, and then they put out 35 minutes worth of tributes, and you don't watch it.
I have to watch it the moment they put it out? Fuck, give me the weekend, man.
It's been out for a while. It's been out for a while.
For 2 days.
No, it's been out longer than that.
I feel like I watched
it too. Go see how many views that video got. You tell me you can't watch it yet.
Steve's like, oh, if you don't watch it the moment it comes out, you're not watching it.
No, you were the one that
canceled shit on online.
You were the one that was hard up on tributes. They didn't do enough. They booked this completely wrong. This was the worst tribute show of my life.
Didn't say I wasn't going to watch it. Just haven't watched it yet. Jesus.
Watch out while you're on the toilet playing Candy Crush.
35. If I watch 35 minutes on the toilet, I ain't getting off the toilet.
You need to go see a doctor if you want to. You got bigger issues going on. Yeah. I guess I'll go Seth.
Shinsuke.
Changing it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's it for payback.
What do you feel about Triple H saying that he doesn't want too many matches on premium live events so that they're not overbooked? Because this to me is a takeover card.
As long as you get the right matches, the right feuds on there, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I don't mind short, like condensed matches, but you have six matches and you're adding two talking segments. Like, I don't want talking segments on a pay-per-view.
Well, Cena's not really a talking segment. He's just the host of the pay-per-view.
I'm sure it'll be a talking segment.
Rose and Waller. Rose and Waller kind of have my interest peaked just because I want to see. I wouldn't mind seeing Rose and Waller, and this is going to hot shot the hell out of this angle, but he's only here for 2 months, so why not? And I have Rose and Waller be a kickoff to Rose versus Cena.
That's what I've seen online. I don't know if it would lead to Crown Jewel or if they would extend it to – because aren't they – are they in Boston this year for Survivor Series?
I got to double check that. I'm not sure.
I forget. Yeah, so I don't know if it's going to lead to like Crown Jewel or if it'll lead to Survivor Series for a match, but
I mean, just an idea.
Yeah,
but
because out of the people that are on the roster with Cena coming back, that I want to see him wrestle, put Cody up there.
And depending on how long this strike lasts, Cena could even extend his time. Yeah, right now it's 2 months, but you never know.
I was hoping he did something like his title run and just took on newcomers.
Get the Cena Open Challenge back without a title.
Yeah.
And what, him beat everybody or him drop it out?
To showcase some new guys, call up some NXT people.
Yeah. Again, is Cena winning these matches or is he putting over these people?
He's winning these matches.
No.
You gotta do a little bit of a mix.
No,
he said it after the Mania match with Theory. You know, he's like, I can't go like I used to go. I know I'm coming down to the end. Like, you're gonna get maybe 10 minutes most out of me. Like, it's not gonna be bangers. Cody's matches don't get started till after 10 minutes. I don't know if that's the right dude.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like,
got a story tell for 15.
But from a dream matchup standpoint, Cody against Cena, Cody in a different light than when Cena was there. Like, if you want to do a passing of the torch moment, so to speak, you had, you know, Undertaker come out there and whisper in Bray's ear. People looked at that as a passing of the torch moment. If you want to pass the torch from the guy that's been the mainstay and the head figure of your company for however many years, even though he's been in Hollywood for how long, he's still out there doing make-a-wishes and company press and, you know, talking the product up, everything else, suit, tie, dressed in the nines. That's Cody Rhodes. So why not do the passing of the torch with Cena to Rhodes and have Cena finally go off into the sunset? As much as I like seeing Cena back, I know Cena's not what Cena was in the ring.
Yeah.
And he's admitted to it. So I understand, okay, I'm only going to get to see you so many more times and then that's it. Because when he can't feel like he can't go in the ring anymore, he's going to be done. Yeah. He's not going to hang on.
And Jason, so, I know you were shitting on it earlier, but it's like, at least last night with Jimmy coming out, at least it was something different for Jimmy too. Just like, it might not be the best match, but at least it's a break from him just doing Bloodline and something different from Cena too, because he never really went against the Usos before. If it goes any further, could have just been a one-off last night, but it has potential.
I was hoping it led to a match, but
so we'll see what this actually turns into, but that's what I thought. Like, you have him for a short window. He's not going to be around much longer, so why not give it to the guy that's already built up and is in that persona? It's Cody. So, all right. That's it for Payback. Tune in tonight. Hit us up, social media. Let us know what we got right, what we got wrong. Any predictions on match of the night?
Hopefully the main title. Hopefully Seth and Nakamura.
Shinsuke Seth.
If not them, Becky and Trish, I'm hoping they deliver too.
I was going to pick the tag.
Which one? The street fight? Or
There's only one tag.
Oh, in the street. I thought there were two tags.
Hmm.
Oh, look, I'm the dumb mark that we just ran through the card. I thought there was two tag teams.
Too busy thinking about Waller and a theory.
Now wait till we get to the AEW card and.
All right, AEW, AEW. My Mount Rushmore of the week, AEW. Yeah. I mean, you can't not put them on your. You know, you can't leave them off your Mount Rushmore. They sell out freaking Wembley Stadium, over 80,000 people, in a feel good pro wrestling moment. Right, yeah. Like the matches were good, mm-hmm. regardless on storylines and feuds. There's a couple decisions on it that I'm just outright not happy with and don't understand, which leads more towards the jabroni side. But we're gonna positive this up. So yeah, AEW, Mount Rushmore, kudos, all in, great, happy, enjoyed the show, awesome.
Here comes the jabroni.
Everything else other than that is the jabroni of the week. all in, Shida, thanks for coming. Appreciate you. You're no longer a relevant person on our roster.
I told Chris.
Why are you having her drop the belt after she just won it?
Yeah.
And then she won it and transformed Toni Storm into a 1950s black and white actress.
Marilyn Monroe, basically.
Why not have Toni retain the title and you tell the story of the Outcast breaking up during the match and have Saraya win the way that she won?
Me and Dolan said the same thing.
It was there in the match. Mm-hmm. What are we doing? Yeah. Drop the belt. You had her drop the belt, and she didn't even take the pin.
Mm-hmm. And that's how Saraya's dropping the belt.
They
did WWE booking of making a moment for Shida. That was it.
I told Chris I noticed this with Shida. Whenever she lost to Britt, she was wearing white. Whenever she lost this one, she was wearing white and silver.
So white. So,
yes, so whenever she does the champ, if she's coming out in white or silver, you know she's
losing. New champion.
Yep.
And
I'm not mad at giving Saraya the win in England. Like, I'm not mad at that moment, right? It's just the story you told in the match could have been done without having Toni drop the belt to Shida. And then you have Saraya turn on Toni, she wins the belt, and now Tony's this transformed character.
Because me and Dolan said the whole match, Toni was the workhorse in that match.
Yeah, Toni was the workhorse.
Toni did the work that whole match, and it would have made more sense for her to be the champion and drop it by doing all the work.
She was the one punching Saraya's mom.
But you did.
She was in every segment of that match.
You did everything in reverse there. So, like that, you know, okay, so we have that. Women's division, good luck.
And you're putting on somebody who's not going to do the full work, not going to defend it often.
Part-time champion.
And is going to lose in a multi-man match.
They brought that up in the media scrum afterwards, too, where Toni Khan said, you know, we were doing stuff with Saraya, like her being the manager instead of wrestling, so she could take the time and make sure that she could go so they could get to this moment. And so they feel that she's good enough right now, you know, health-wise, that she can go as champion. So we'll see how they do with the run. But
not only – so we have that. Okay, women's division, thanks, whatever. All the backstage stuff, I'm not even getting into. I'm so sick of it. I'm so over it.
Just like last year, there's too much shit coming out.
You don't know what to do. Yeah, whatever. I'm right. Right?
It overshadowed the pay-per-view.
Not only did it overshadow the pay-per-view, and going back to the women, who was in attendance?
Mercedes.
Nobody fucking knows or can remember because they put her on a screen during the 0 hour for 20 seconds to announce that she was there. Why would you not spotlight that during the pay-per-view?
They did. They showed her during the pay-per-view a couple times.
I missed it.
Yeah. I think they showed her like two more times.
I think two times in the pay-per-view. Spotlight, yeah.
Or they just cammed to her sitting there.
It was just like.
I think one was a spotlight, one was a cam door.
Did they do it during the women's match?
I think during the women's, and I think they cammed to her just at the end, like during the main event. I don't remember where it was, like if it was in the entrance or if it was after the match, but.
Yeah, because the one I remembered, it was just like a real quick, like, oh, they're in. Just cut back to the ring.
Your two headlines coming out of your show from All In last week should have been AEW successful pay-per-view at Wembley, 80,000 people plus, great pro wrestling moment. Mercedes Moné at AEW event. 1A, 1B should have been your headlines for AEW going into Dynamite. Instead, we get all this other BS. It's not even touched on. It's not even thought about. Doesn't even matter. It's like it never existed. You can Thanos snap her right out of that moment, and it doesn't change anything.
There were pictures of her going around, like, where she was walking around with a boot. So I can see maybe AEW not hyping it up, you know, if she's not ready to do something. But
and then you roll into Wednesday night, and we've touched on different things from Wednesday night. You have officially killed the Canadian Destroyer. You have turned that move means less than a headlock takeover. It means less than a leapfrog. The small package means more than a Canadian Destroyer.
It's now the super kick.
No, it's beyond that. It's surpassed.
It's beyond
that. They've jobbed that move out to the point where I don't want to see another Canadian Destroyer ever in my life in pro wrestling.
AEW did that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. That was all.
Who did I miss this week?
Go watch the clip on Twitter. Go watch the clip. Find it. YouTube. There's a spot with Orange Cassidy and Penta where they do back-to-back Canadian Destroyers on each other.
Yeah. I think like 3 or 4 times. Yeah. I thought Donald was going to die, though, during All In whenever Penta almost fell off the ladder before he did the Canadian Destroyer off the top.
Oh, yeah. He went up the wrong way to the ladder.
Don't almost need his inhaler for that one.
Yeah, so not only that, but
almost
but
missed it.
The other thing. AEW does reverse booking. You know how you're like supposed to book big men and monsters to be like these strong, just how the hell are you going to beat these guys? What move? Like, how can you possibly do it? They're just
it's a big too show big. In WWE.
Like, well, that's every wrestler under $125 in AEW. Orange Cassidy, it's Darby Allin, it's Nick Wayne. Orange Cassidy literally got hit with every single move possible, had his arm snapped and broken, yet he still won the belt, and now he's going to have a match 4 days later at another pay-per-view.
Put those three in a trios match.
Ten stars.
Like,
what was WCW? This is where the big boys play. So it's like the reverse for AEW.
You said Nick Wayne kicked out of everything. What were we saying last week?
Orange Cassidy literally took, besides the Canadian Destroyer spot, he literally took Penta's finisher, the package, the package pile driver, on the apron of the ramp.
It looked like he got back hit, in.
The hardest part of the ring. The hardest part of the ring.
Reached up and grabbed the ropes to break up that pinfall. Then they do another move, and then it leads into Penta hitting him again for a second time. And he kicks out. What the hell are we doing?
Making John Moxley look strong. That's what we're doing.
He hits him with one paradigm shift, and that's it.
Nobody else could beat Cassidy but Moxley. Hulking up.
Like, that's the type of stuff that completely, like, when Bischoff says it's an indie on superpowers, like it's an indie on the serum that made Captain America Captain America. That's what Orange Cassidy, Nick Wayne, and Darby Allin are. They took the freaking serum, the soldier serum, and now they're Captain America. And then the capper to the week. You want to talk about just WCW, 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 WCW? Dennis freaking Rodman is going to be on Collision tonight. What are we doing?
The Worm.
And if I hear the Jimi Hendrix guitar rip, I swear to God, I'm drop kicking my TV.
The Voodoo Child. That's TK. That's TK's favorite celebrity.
You want to go LOL TNA when they brought in every single big time WWE champion to get an extra payday and just ruin that company for years? You want to talk about WCW doing the same thing and everybody and their mother joining the NWO and ruining it for years? Literally, this is – I brought it up a couple weeks on the show. Like, 20 years from now, we look back at AEW. What's it going to be remembered as? Because this is the bullshit that WCW got buried for.
Mm-hmm. You do this on Dynamite.
You don't do this, period. Dennis Rodman should not be nowhere near the ring in 2023.
Dennis Rodman has no connection with any of these wrestlers.
But don't do it on Collision.
Just that. Just Chicago. That's it. You're just bringing them out. And I hope it doesn't
leak anything. Chicago for that long. He played more in freaking Detroit than he did in Chicago.
I hope it doesn't lead to him having anything to do with All Out tomorrow.
Oh, he will.
Oh,
I'm sure. There's a reason why it's getting hyped up.
Punk no Anderson. Connection to him.
Dennis Robbins, real world champion.
This is bad. I mean, hey, this is.
If you do that, I will love it. If he's the real world champion, put it on him. Then you really tell what that belt is. Nothing.
No connection. No connection.
I mean, that's it's nothing, perfect. Anyways. You know, there's no point of that belt. You good?
No, he's not good.
Contrary to all that, here's my opposite take. I'm more excited for All Out's card than I was for All In's.
All Out Dynamite?
No. All Out tomorrow night has a better card on paper than All In did.
No.
Huh?
Besides Orange and Mox, I think there may be one other match. Two matches out of it. I think there's eight listed.
Nine.
Okay. Two out of the nine don't have a story attached to it. Everything else has a story. You have Darby and Christian. Story. Been telling it for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Probably the biggest story in the company, really, other than Better Than You.
Yeah. I mean, we can run through the card, and I'll yell story between each card. So let's do this because this is why I'm more excited. And okay, I'll see if I can get you to change your opinions at all.
But before we get into it, going on paper, like just looking at the card, to me, it's just an overextended episode of Dynamite in a way. And I was looking forward to All In than All Out, but I think this pay-per-view is going to, they have to deliver, because if they don't, then it's kind of, the formula, people are going to get it on them for next year since they're running the same thing. So let's start off. We'll go with Jason's match of the night. Eddie Kingston and Shibata versus Castagnoli and Yuta.
Yuta's taking the pin.
you may hate this match, right? Just because of the participants that are in it. Talking to you three on the screen, not necessarily everybody else listening.
I like 3 to 4.
Same.
There's story here.
There is.
You may not like the story. You may not like the people involved in the story, and you may not want to see the people involved in the story have another match. But there's story. There's background. There's something that you can get invested in to watch this match if you like the people that are involved in it. But I got Kingston and Shibata winning. Yuta taking a pin, as Donald said.
Yes, same here. Kingston Shibata, Yuta taking a pin.
Same.
No other way to portray it.
Speaking of Yuta, the the best French graphic where they had Yuta's head and Yuta's body over here split. Have y'all seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah, just bury the man. Just.
Just like they did the hug on him, and then they just beat him up afterwards.
Just buried him in.
That was a great spot.
Next one.
Yep.
See, this is one you're going to look forward to. ROH Television Championship, Samoa Joe versus Shane Taylor.
For those of you that don't watch Ring of Honor, they've been telling this story and have had the tournament to face Samoa Joe. And when they initially announced the bracket for the tournament, say what you will about tournaments, Tony Khan uses them. He uses them like a pair of crutches with a torn ACL.
We got another one starting this week.
But wait, there's more. Yeah.
You might as well change it to all tournament wrestling because that's all he does. But no, this was the matchup that I wanted to see out of this tournament. Joe and Shane Taylor, like, this is one of the matches that I'm the most interested in and has my attention full bore while these two are in here. Shane Taylor is underrated.
He is.
Criminally underrated. And what he did with the TV title before ROH shut down, doesn't get enough talk about what a solid, good run it was. And Joe is Joe. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not, you know, not mad at Joe's one of my guys.
Showing exactly the reason why he shouldn't have been retired.
Gave that man a microphone and had him out there in a poncho in the rain.
Mm-hmm. I saw that a lot this week. Poncho in the rain to 81,000 people.
Yeah. Opening the show. What a banger. Should have won, but still. So, yeah.
That title was beneath him, so he didn't need to win.
Story, investment. People I want to see. Fresh matchup. Yeah, sold. I got Joe. Actually, no. Give me Shane.
Joe.
I don't think Joe's over yet. I thought he was a little bit ago, but I think they're going to continue that on. But I think it'll deliver. All right. Up next, we'll go with the TBS Championship, Statlander versus Soho.
Story. Investment. I actually want to see these two get in the ring and go at it. It may not be the best story, but they've been having them two interact with each other for weeks now. So could it have been better? Yeah, absolutely. Could have been better told. But I feel like these two will go out there and have a hell of a match.
This is going to be a good judge for Statlander.
Might even be a sleeper dark horse for a match of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ruby can go.
Mm-hmm.
So Statlander's back. We've seen with Statlander, like, we've seen her put on match of the night quality matches before, like with Layla Hirsch and that. So I got Statlander retaining, though.
Statlander.
Ruby.
Ruby taking the title already.
Yep.
Just to fuck with Tony Moore?
Yes. Everybody both
have belts.
Yeah, both have belts, and you don't.
Well, she's throwing bow shoes at Renee next week if that happens.
That would be interesting. I'm not going to go against Statlander, though. How long she had this now? What was that, Double or Nothing? And she won. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I see her continuing on for a little bit more. All right.
So far, we have had story for everything so far, right?
This one doesn't have story.
Okay.
ROH Tag Team Championship. Better Than You, Baby versus the Dark Order.
Yeah, this was determined last night in the whatever they announced.
Tag Battle Royal, like always. Yeah. The Tag Battle Royal. Just like the NXT Women Battle Royal. Like, hey, we'd have nobody to pick up.
Yeah. This tag team matchup is similar to the one on Payback tonight, where the story is not about the belt,
yeah,
it's about the individuals in the match.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just a continuation of Adam Cole and MJF.
And no offense, but look who they're wrestling.
I mean,
I like them. I like them as a tag team.
They could go, but
to me, they could be all right champs.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's just the situation of this match.
By putting on Cole and MJF.
Why are these ROH wrestlers not on an ROH pay-per-view? But I'll save that for another day. But it's cool.
Dark Order's ROH?
Yeah. They've been in ROH.
Oh. I didn't know. I just thought they were in catering.
Okay. No, they've been on ROH. They've had a solid storyline in ROH too, like with Stu Grayson and Vincent and the Righteous and all that. Like
Who's Vincent?
Vincent from ROH.
Oh, okay.
So you're thinking another Vincent?
Yeah, not Vincent.
I was thinking Sweetwater. What is his name?
Dennis Rodman, Vincent, you know? Got better to you, baby.
Yeah.
All right. Probably, I don't know, this could be Steve's match of the night or second match of the night, depending on where it falls with story. Miro versus Powerhouse Hobbs.
I get Miro and Hobbs, and I get Joe and Shane Taylor on the same pay-per-view.
So much meaty men for Steve.
Just slapping the meat out of each other. I'm mad that Miro and Hobbs is actually, like, right now. Because that it just started to simmer from a story standpoint, and you're already just throwing it on here because. But this is probably going to be, I wouldn't say match of the night from a technical standpoint, but Miro is Miro. I love Miro. I love the Redeemer character since he became TNT champ, and he just hasn't missed with it. Hobbs. This redemption story gimmick that he's going with the Booger Hobbs and leading to this match, it has potential to go somewhere. But I feel like if he doesn't win, then there's no point in him continuing on any development from a character standpoint because you base this whole story arc on your redemption and calling out Miro. So if you don't win, then what are you going to do now?
I got. They haven't treated him right at all.
Who Hobbs? Because they haven't treated.
Yeah.
I don't think they've treated either one right.
But especially lately with Hobbs, it's just they've given him the time. You know, this is part of the reason why I like Collision. Both of these men have been getting time lately, but just Hobbs on the back end of where he should be with the character development just hasn't been there.
Well, I mean, they gave him the
Juneteenth
title run. And then he dropped it to Wardlow after Juneteenth passed. And that, we haven't seen Wardlow since. I know he's out injured, but still. Like, just look at those two as what they should be in the company. And then transition it to now look at Miro and Hobbs, and it's the same thing. These guys should be up towards your upper card or on the precipice of an upper card to go in and out depending on who your champ is. We talk about that foundation. You have your champ, you have your four, below, and then, you know what I mean? Like, why are these guys not there?
You have either of these guys with the International Championship, and it would be just as good. It would be a different style than what Orange has been delivering for it, but it would be just as good, if not better.
I mean, Miro has arguably had the best TNT title run out of anybody that's held the belt. And honestly, that title really hasn't meant anything since he dropped it.
That's very true. That's true.
Was he after Wardlow's first run?
He was before.
Before.
He was way before, yeah.
I want Miro to win. But I got Hobbs just based off of the story that they've told. I don't think this will be the end of these two, but
I got Hobbs
because he can't be shouting redemption and then lose to the Redeemer and still have a job. You might as well pick up your last check on the way out.
Well, he can. He can. I'm going with Hobbs.
I got Hobbs.
I'm going to go with Hobbs. I think this will be – he's going to use that book of Hobbs, and that's how he picks up the win.
Again, story.
The loaded book.
Exactly. All right. Up next, another story.
Did Demon drop that off on his way to the Impact 1000? Possibly.
We'll go with the TNT Championship, Luchasaurus versus Darby Allin.
I mean, it's Luchasaurus wrestling in the match, but there's been story here. And Darby, you know, he doesn't have to beat Christian, so... You know, he can beat Luchasaurus.
Of course. What a messed up spine, they said. He got hurt doing that coffin drop on the metal coffin.
You think? I mean, the dude's only throwing him down steps off ladders. Right? And it, like,
I think it was Taz that said it. Like, when he hit that, it's like, how do you not get whiplash from that? Just the way he hit.
I mean, I guess Jericho doesn't care about Darby Allin because he hasn't called him to tell him to tone it down, but he called Will Ospreay a couple years ago.
One you see as an investment. The other one is just Darby Allin.
And I mean, if Darby wins, then you're doing the same thing with the TNT title.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's been the same three or four people. Like, Luchasaurus winning was different, and the fact that Christian Cage wears the belt out to the ring just makes it even better.
Yes,
because it's different.
It's different.
So tonight, Luchasaurus will be in the match, but Christian will be outside with a turtleneck with the TNT title around his waist. It's gonna be great.
So how do you defeat Darby Allin?
I don't know.
That's going to be the question because
he defeats himself.
The elixir from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, that you got to eat in a donut. Like, I don't know.
Get to have bolt cutters and cut the chain off.
I mean, Luchasaurus is not this guy to be beating Darby Allin.
But you got Christian there too, the Christian factor.
Luchasaurus,
where I think it's going to come.
Luchasaurus, another guy that, you know, has been booked like shit. And if you watched him in Lucha Underground, or hell, if you even paid attention to him whenever he was tag team with Jungle Boy,
yeah,
Luchasaurus can wrestle.
Give me a big man.
He's an athletic big man that does shit not other athletic big men do. And you just got him out there with a black tongue and a black mask on.
Just walking.
With one half of Hawk's shoulder pads from Legion of Doom.
Just walking.
Give me Darby. Darby don't lose.
Luchasaurus.
Luchasaurus. It's a Christian factor.
It's more entertaining. Keep it going.
What? Another story.
All right. Moving on. International Championship, Orange Cassidy and Mox.
This is the main event.
No. We still got two matches.
What else is bigger than this that they're putting on as the main event?
Dennis Rodman.
This is all set up for Moxley to win this title.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah. Of course it is.
I don't want to see it, but it's exactly what's going to happen.
Moxley Hogan.
Is that all we need to say about this?
I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. Like I said, Wednesday night with Orange Cassidy completely soured me. Not because of Orange and what he's done in the ring. It's just like, yo, you can't kick out of literally every single thing and expect me to believe into the match. So tonight he'll get six paradigm shifts.
Yeah.
He'll go through a table.
Cut the open.
Will come back out.
Cut open. Yeah, yeah, something. The fork. The fork, because they mentioned the fork during the promo.
This will be the match where it becomes, and this match is now no holds barred.
I'll turn it off.
Street fight. FTW rules.
All right, moving on. Two matches left. Bull Club Gold versus FTR and the Young Bucks.
FTR and the Young Bucks.
Bullet Club Gold. And too entertaining.
Bullet Club Gold with one of the young bucks taking the pin.
I think the whole Young Bucks turning their back on FTR, you know, instead of the handshake gone all in, I think that'll come into play here with that match. Because that was too easy. Oh, yeah, let's team up. in the backstage segment. So I'm going Bullet Club Gold as well.
And this is a match thrown together. But if you watch pro wrestling for years outside of WWE, you know there's history there between the Bucks and Jay White and actual Bullet Club. So, like...
So, story?
No, I'm not giving it the story there. It's just...
Indirect story.
It's thrown together. So, 3 out of 9.
All right. Last match, Kenny Omega versus Takeshita.
Wait, is there not a women's match? Oh, yeah, there is.
Yeah, Chris Stallings.
TBS. TBS. Okay. Yeah.
Takeshita. I'm going to Takeshita.
Does Kenny Omega give him the rub?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes.
Omega.
Clean. Does he do it clean?
There's a question, but.
Yeah, that is.
Because this, on paper, this should be match of the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
That's why I put it last.
This may be match of the week. Last week, this week, and the following week.
It should be. You have to have, Kenny needs to be the way he was with Ospreay. It needs to be New Japan Kenny in this match, and not AEW Kenny.
For all the times that Takeshita beat him up, snuck him, everything.
We know Takeshita can go. Like, this is
This
is like a baby Omega Okada potential where, like, after you're done, you're like, holy shit, I just watched one of the best matches.
And should tell you, is Takeshita main event worthy at this point?
The tighter the jacket, the better off he is.
You saw him with this surprise roll-up win. You still got Don Callis out there. I hope there's no chicanery in this match. But
no chicanery, but there will be shenanigans.
I hope it's a clean win. Like, I don't need Callis interfering to get him the win. But it's Callis and he's a heel, so it's just the way it happens.
Do you send the crowd home unhappy?
Fuck the fans. The money's in the pocket.
No, they listen to the fans.
What is it? Who cares about the fans? Your hero ain't there, so too damn bad.
And the scuttlebutt is there will be another match added.
As I said, we still have Collision tonight. So
supposedly Collision is going to set up Ricky Starks for a big time match on this card tomorrow. Yeah. The only big time match that Ricky Starks should be in for tomorrow is CM Punk, but he's still suspended. It's within the 30 days, so he doesn't need to wrestle on this card because then suspension doesn't mean anything.
Starks comes off a suspension just as CM Punk goes on suspension.
Is CM Hogan suspended?
No.
We're not getting this crap match over.
Work. He ain't suspended.
You know what?
Is it going to be this strap match?
Probably.
With Ricky the Dragon?
No.
No?
Ricky will probably bring someone in for it.
Okay.
No. I mean, Ricky the Dragon is supposed to be on Collision tonight, but he's not supposed to wrestle. Thank God he's a
I hope he old. Doesn't wrestle, yeah.
That means you're getting a strap match.
Ricky Starks versus Lance Archer. You know, he's always a fill-in.
Starks is not wrestling. He's suspended. Can we just please?
No, tonight's his last night. He's clear for
it's
all.
It's not 30 days.
28 days. It was a 28-day suspension.
Oh, now we're at, now we're doing the Goldberg numbers.
It was a 4-week.
Now we're doing the Goldberg numbers.
The second week they clarified that he
went from seven wins to 106 wins the following week. Yeah. Bobby the Brain Heenan said he must have worked the most matches ever in a 7-day period.
Starks is clear for All Out.
Sure, in these days, like Honky Tonk wins.
Saw him out there griping, bitching, and moaning about that podcast interview. short my reign to give Gunther the title. My reign was I'm like, really? This is what you're coming with, Honky Tonk?
What's the difference? I haven't heard the shorten the reign, but what's the difference in the reign?
They're saying that he cut that his reign was actually longer than when WWE said it was.
By one day.
By one day. To have Gunther surpass him.
So he can beat it twice then? Yeah. He beats it the first day, then he beats it the second day?
Because Howard Finkel told him 4:55.
Then we crying about this. Legends, boy, I tell you. Ain't never good enough.
That's your name. That's what you're known for. That's your legacy.
It's never good enough. You was out there. You was one of them.
All right. Sucking match up in your way. Match of the night. What do you got for All Out?
Takeshita Omega.
Hopefully pretty obvious, right?
I mean, I think there's potential for other
matches. Oh, there is. But...
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hoping. Yes. 8-star match.
Miro and Hobbs and Shane Taylor and Samoa Joe.
Just call them both of them. Those will be your matches of the night. Go.
They're going to actually be like wrestling matches. There's not going to be Canadian Destroyer Spot Fest. No. There's not going to be 10,000 super kicks.
One of them would die if they did that.
It's literally going to be who can beat the who, like who can beat up who the most. No. Like I'm like let JR call both of those matches.
Yeah.
If him, Taz, and Excalibur did that, that'd be a good booth for those matches.
And put them on back to back so I can like end the pay-per-view and just go home happy. All right. Anything else pro wrestling wise, week that was wise?
Nope. I think we covered it. Nope.
A lot of wrestling to consume the next 48 hours, and then Raw, NXT, Dynamite. You know,
cycle begins
on a holiday weekend. At least, hopefully, some people have Monday off. I know two people here won't, but
what's that? What's that?
Matrix never stops. No. So,
gotta put out the Christmas stuff. I had a game, but we're at 1:30 here, so we can wrap things up.
Yeah, I thought we'd go long because of it being two big reviews and a lot to get into. So maybe we'll record that. Let's record that offline and we'll throw it out there in the clip. All right, anything else?
I'm good.
Nope. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. As always, episode 151, Dumb Marks Podcast. Hit us up on social media at Dumb Marks Pod on all social media platforms. Head on over to Spotify, subscribe. ProWrestlingTees.com/Dumb Marks Pod. There is a Labor Day sale going on. We have the graphic and the image up on social medias. If we haven't posted it yet, we will repost it again.
Code Labor Day.
So head on over there, get a shirt, save 20%. We'll give you a live shout out on air. Email the show at dumbmarkspod@gmail.com. Let us know what we do right, what we do wrong, what we want, what you want to see from us. Constructive criticism is always welcome. You start getting mean and you have a problem. And we know this show sucks. It is what it is. But no, we appreciate you rocking as always. Positivity quote of the week.
You got a positive one?
Yeah, I do. Okay.
Gave that sigh, I wasn't sure.
Well, I had a couple to go off of, but after getting what you manifested, ask for discipline to keep it and wisdom to multiply it. After getting what you manifested, ask for discipline to keep it and wisdom to multiply it. And with that being said, I'm a Mark, you're a Mark, tell a Mark. Until next time, y'all can catch us around the way.